Hello, this is Jim Person.
And I'm Kristen Auerbach.
And we'd like to welcome you to the Fairfax County Pawcast. It's the podcast with news, stories, and events from the Fairfax County Animal Shelter. On this edition of the Pawcast, we'll talk with Animal Control Officer Anna Lugo about her work helping animals in Fairfax County and her special passion for rescuing stray dogs that have evaded capture for months and, in some cases, years. Officer Lugo will also tell us about the volunteer work she does in her spare time, helping young people work with shelter pets. And finally, we'll hear about Prince, who is our featured pet of the week. Anna, thanks for being with us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
A lot of great stories, Kristen tells me, that we've got to get into. I just wish we had enough time. I guess a lot of folks maybe have heard of you and your work in Fairfax County because of the elusive Shih Tzu named Biscuit that you helped rescue or capture. Since then, you've had some other success catching some longtime stray dogs. Can you kind of tell us some of these stories? Maybe start with Biscuit and kind of give us the story there and how you got involved and the outcome.
Biscuit's story was about 2 years now, and the information was he had been running loose for about 2 years.
Wow.
By the time I got it, a couple of ACOs had gone out. Nobody had been able to trap it. Other people had said that rescue groups had tried, mm-hmm. neighborhood had tried as well. And it's just one of those things that once I get it, I have to finish and follow it through the end.
Tenacious, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it about Biscuit and that story that got you involved? I mean, that really sucked you in.
The first time I saw him, his condition was horrible, and I just had no idea what was underneath that hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept thinking, is he injured? Is he hurt? Is there some type of disease going on underneath that hair? And every night I'd go to bed thinking, oh, my God, another night he has to suffer because I have no idea what's going on.
Wow. So folks were able to get a picture of Biscuit that you were able to see, or you just kind of saw him
before
you could catch him kind of thing?
Every time I went out there, if he was there, I'd see him, I'd chase him, I'd run after him, and just little glimpses here and there. And the more I saw him, the worse I thought he was.
Yeah.
Well, the thing most people don't know about the Biscuit story is I didn't know Anna very well at that point, but she came to me and she said, I need a lot of volunteers. And I was like, okay. And she's like, we got to go and we got to like all form a circle and we're going to get this little dog. And so we rounded up. How many volunteers?
About 15 people total.
About 15 people total who, it was this giant dog rescue effort with a lot of people led by Anna that actually caught him in the end.
Huh. So you make a human corral kind of thing.
Yeah, we had to. We didn't have any place to secure him at all. And I had, in 3 months, you get to know the routes, the escape routes.
Hmm.
And I knew every single one of them.
Interesting.
And I just made a little plan to relocate everybody to those routes so he wouldn't be able to get out, and that's how we got him.
Wow. So we think Biscuit had been out on his own for a couple of years.
And at least 2 years,
yeah.
From our records of reports, about 2 years.
So, I mean, maybe a dumb question. I was thinking, how does a dog survive on its own for 2 years like that? But I guess, I mean,
instinct.
That's their nature and instinct. Yeah.
Instinct. He was really young, for what we understand is about 9 months. And I think he had the better chance of reverting back to wild.
Hmm.
And that's probably what saved him.
Hmm. How did you finally catch him? You've got these people kind of around where you think he's going to go. Was it you that got him? Was it one of the volunteers? And
no,
how they do
it was actually me.
Oh.
I think it's more pure luck and having that many people there that knew exactly what they were expected to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we had done a debrief saying, do not back down if he comes over to you. He would scream, he'll yell, he'll try to bite, but please don't back down because this is the only chance we're going to get.
Mm.
And they did awesome.
Once you caught him, as soon as she caught him, like he stopped, like he just stopped fighting. But the funny part is the first few days, there were these pictures of her holding him, and he would hold his body like as far away from her as he could, and he would have the most angry look on his face.
That is true.
You're the one.
And now he's like in love with her.
Yeah. So what's the update on Biscuit? Where is he at and what's going on with Biscuit?
I kept him for about 5 months and a half, made sure he came back to human world. And then we started interviewing and receiving applications for adoption. And we went through a few, but he was a special dog that needed mm-hmm. special care and attention. Mm-hmm. And we finally found this family that lives out near the shelter. And they came over, and the first thing I noticed from him that I hadn't noticed from anybody else was that they have an 11-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
and she squat down without reaching for him, and he actually went to her.
Oh, wow.
And right there, I said, this is it. We're going to work around it, but I think this is it, because she's the first person, other than me, that right. he actually went to smell and see who it was.
Wow, interesting.
And that says a lot about an animal.
Yeah. So what's the best part of this story for you?
That we got him out of the street and he was fine.
Yeah.
I remember, I think it was Kristen, that I said, I really want to give this dog a chance. If I do catch them, will you guys give him a chance to survive?
Right.
Because I didn't know what was going on. And my concern was, I'm going to take him out of the street, bring him into a vet, and they're going to say he's in such poor condition
right.
that we're going to have to put him down.
Right.
And you debate, do I just let him be and let nature take its course, or do I rescue him and see if we can
mm-hmm.
better his life?
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen said, absolutely, we're going to take care of him. Just get him.
Just get him here, yeah, yeah.
And we didn't know also if he would be aggressive. And he was completely, he's, from the day he was caught, like any kind of nippy, bitey behavior totally stopped. And he just is, he's a little lamb now, and he's a little mama's boy too.
He is.
And Anna is his babysitter.
Oh,
when his family's
out of town. Keep that connection, huh?
Correct.
So this is interesting to me personally, and I'm thinking a lot of folks listening, because you are an animal control officer with Fairfax County.
Yes.
It's under the police department. And I don't think people have this view or understanding of what you're doing. I mean, maybe people are thinking, well, that's not what I typically think of an animal control officer being, the, you know, big, mean person out there with a hook and grabbing the dog and throw him in the back of a truck kind of thing. I mean, what would you say to folks that think animal control officers are like that?
I think it's give us a chance. Give us an opportunity if you do have to interact with us in whatever way, whatever case it may be. Just give us a chance to work with you. And they will soon realize that we're not the wardens or animal mm-hmm. control or dog catchers that used to be in the
yeah.
90s or 80s. It's a completely new generation, and we are out here for the animals, and we're also out here because we work directly with the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to interact with the humans probably more than
right.
than not.
Right.
So we just ask public, just give us a chance, even if it's a really hard situation or a really hard incident that we have to go out to. We will try to do the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go and work with the owners or the humans that are involved as best we can, and then we will try and work as best we can
yeah.
with the animal. Let it be a wildlife, let it be a domestic.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned wildlife, because I was going to ask you about that. We've talked about the dogs and some of those kind of cases that you've been involved with that have gotten a lot of, actually, some publicity in the county for the shelter and the animal control officers. But you also do a lot of work with wildlife, birds and small animals, and even understand deer that are sick and injured. Are there certain kind of wild animals that seem to need the help the most, or the most help?
I think the foxes and the raccoons.
Huh.
Foxes get sick fairly often. They get mange. Sad to say, we can't save all of them. We can't save adults.
Mm-hmm.
But we do try to rehab the younger foxes and raccoons as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the... She just sent me a picture of a woodpecker I thought was really... I'm going to share it. It was so sweet. You got called out about a...
Yeah, a citizen heard noise on his sliding glass door.
Mm-hmm.
Glass door. And when he looked outside, he saw a bird flopping on the floor.
Hmm.
And he waited, and he knew what had happened. He had crashed into the glass door, and he waited about an hour, and he said the bird was still alive, but he didn't want it to just suffer. So he called us, and I went out there, picked him up, took him straight to the vet, and then the vet treated him there. And they do cortisone for inflammation. They keep them warm, and then they try to see if the bird survives, and if
right.
it does... Then they release them back in at least the immediate area where we picked them up.
Right. Interesting. I'm going to be a real tough question here. I hope you don't mind, but I think there's probably a lot of folks that maybe think and maybe would ask, you know, why bother? You know, it's just a bird. It's just a wild animal out there. You know, should we really be spending this much time and effort?
Actually, that is my pet peeve. I don't see animals as, this is just an animal, why bother? Mm-hmm. I see what's behind it. If I can make somebody smile because I got this animal and I saved it, if I can make somebody's life happier, if I can make a child stop crying,
yeah.
If I can make a senior citizen that can't go outside and enjoy the nature, but they can look out the window and see that bird that I just saved, why not?
Yeah, that's awesome. So away from the animals, you also do volunteer work, but it's also at the shelter. So tell us about your free time volunteering work.
We wanted to give the shelter animal. It's all for the animals, but again, it involves the human aspect of it. We wanted to help the animals that would come in that were all dirty, matted, or needed some help with grooming. And I had found out that some of the high schools in Fairfax County have actually an animal science program with their academy schools. Mm-hmm. And I got in contact with one of the teachers from Edison High School. And it took me about a year to figure it out.
Right.
It took me about 6 months to bother Kristen about it and and tell her, you know, this is what I want. I really want this done. It helps the kids. So
she's relentless when she has an idea. She's going to make it happen. So I've learned just to get on board right away. Make it happen.
Yeah. So the whole idea was these kids are taking these classes. And although they get the experience at the school, mm-hmm. I thought it would be amazing to bring them out of that system of just a school program, bring them out onto the shelter and have these kids then give that service of bathing, brushing, cleaning their eyes, cutting their nails, cleaning their ears to the animals at the shelter. And I think what that covers is the kids get the experience
that's
out of the school environment into a real life situation where later on in the future, if that's what they want to continue, they have that experience. They could use it for their resumes if they want to. They are still volunteers. They are still monitored by the teacher as well as another adult at the shelter. Sometimes I'll go out there and help them out. And also just giving these animals the chance to be in a place where they're taken care of, not just medically and feeding and walking them, but also the aspect of the grooming, the nails and the ears and everything like that.
Yeah. Awesome. That sounds cool. How long has that been going on?
We started late November.
Okay.
And it's once a month.
So fairly new program. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's, I think for what we've heard, it's working great.
Yeah. Okay.
They're working with hoarding animals as well, which are the ones that need it the most.
Wow. Okay. Well, a good opportunity for the shelter to get some additional volunteer help. But like you said, an awesome experience for high school students that get out of the classroom and actually get some hands-on.
Correct.
All right. Only got a minute or two left, unfortunately. I think we could go on forever about some of your interesting stories. But I'm just going to turn the microphone over to you, kind of open mic. Anything that you think we should know, folks listening right now should know about animal control, about the animals, pet peeves you have, anything you'd like to add before we kind of wrap up our chat?
Like I said before, I think when people see us out on the street, don't be upset at us if you see us having to put down an animal out on the street. We don't have options sometimes, and we will get some citizens that will walk by and say, well, why didn't you try to save that deer? Why didn't you try to save that fox? There are certain things that by regulation we cannot do or we can do. And that if you see us doing something that you don't like, come and ask us after the scene is safe. Don't come up to us if we're doing something at the time, but wait for us to be done. And we'll definitely explain what the laws are and what we can and cannot do. We try to do the best we can for the wildlife as well as dogs and cats and everything else.
And I don't want to have you go without telling the story about the rescue that happened that involved the fire department and you were there on the scene as well of the dog. I think it's a good example of you know, our county working together.
Yeah, we, this young kid, 17-year-old, walking his dog next to a lake, and this is where the leash law comes into effect. There's a reason why we want all the dogs on leash. Either they can get tangled in with wildlife fights, They can get hit by a car. They can get entangled with fights with other dogs. They can go and bite a human. In this instance, the dog jumped into the lake that was frozen. The owner tried to chase after him, of course, being so cold. He backed out, called 911. Fire department, luckily, was nearby. Their response was amazing. By the time I got there, they were already suited up and almost ready to get into the water. And the people just need to understand, there are laws, and the laws are there for a reason, usually to protect the humans and then protect the animals. Mm-hmm. So the leash law is very important.
But then what happened?
We took the fire department, went in. The firefighter was amazing. I guess he's an animal lover, and he went all the way up to the dog. I had given him a catch pole, and I said, some dogs get really nervous and scared he might latch, put the catch pole on, and he said, oh, no, it's a lab. He reached and actually grabbed the collar and brought him with him. But as soon as he turned around, the dog swam back to shore, pulling the firefighter out of the water, which we thought was amazing because we were here to save the dog, but the dog was, in fact, right. saving the firefighter.
Right.
But once we got him out of the water, the poor thing was freezing. And we covered it with towels, checked him out. She seemed to be great. She was all happy, shaking her tail, wagging her tail. She wanted to go to the owner. Yeah. But we had to keep the owner in a vehicle because he was wet and it was really cold.
Yeah.
But we took him and the dog home. And the reunion with the owner and the dog was awesome. I wish I could have taped that. That dog's was super ecstatic and happy just to see him, and went straight to him and started jumping on him and licking his face,
right,
which is kind of cute. I think the dog was thinking, oh my God, I can't save my owner because you won't let me.
Right.
And it was great.
I think there's a lot of communities that what happened, that kind of response in that amount of time with multiple agencies coming, you know, it simply wouldn't happen. And we thought it was really extraordinary how fast they got out there to save the dog. And it also saved the person, because if no one had come, that person might have gone back in the water.
That's true. That's true.
Correct.
All right. Great story to end on. Unfortunately, as we said, that's our time. But you're always welcome to come back on future podcast editions, and we'd love
Thank
to have you.
You.
Before we wrap up, though, Kristen, we got to talk about Prince, feature pet.
Prince, he's breaking my heart. He's this big black blocky dog, and he's like, he's so cute, and he's very quiet because he's so huge. I don't think he can move very fast. And he's been at the shelter for like a month and a half. And I don't know why he hasn't gotten adopted. He's one of those dogs that she's just like overlooked. He went home to a foster home for the weekend to see, you know, just how he was in a home. And the foster family was in love with him. They said he doesn't pull on a leash, which for a dog that size is amazing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And his only goal in life is to have a part of his body touching a part of his person's body.
Oh.
And they said as long as that's the case, he's really happy. And they said he just stays right by your side. He's what we call a Velcro dog. So it saddens us greatly that he's spending night after night in the shelter. We want to get him home to his new best friend so he can start his new life.
Wow. Okay. And maybe I missed it. You just said he was a big dog. Any kind of idea what kind of dog he is?
Or oh, no. We never know.
Just kind of a mixture.
Yeah. You know, when we guess, we're wrong. Animal welfare professionals, we're wrong 80% of the time. So I won't even venture a guess.
All right. Big black dog.
He's a mutt.
Key point is he wants to be loved, and he wants to be right there with the owner. Okay. If that doesn't get you off the couch and down to the shelter to grab him, I don't know what will.
Please, somebody. I mean, you're missing out. He's great.
Ask for Prince and tell him you heard it on the podcast. Unfortunately, it's going to do it for the time that we've got on the Fairfax County Animal Shelter Podcast. Animal Control Officer Anna Lugo, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Remember, folks, if you are looking for your next best friend, Prince, or maybe a cat or a rabbit, a guinea pig, or other small pet, come to the animal shelter. Your new best friend is waiting for you right there at 4500 West Ox Road in Fairfax. The hours are Tuesdays through Fridays from noon to 7 p.m., also on Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
For more Fairfax County Animal Shelter news and events, visit us online at fairfaxcounty.gov/animalshelter, and be sure to check out the calendar of events located on the site. You can also call 703-830-1100, extension 2, or email fcpd petresources@fairfaxcounty.gov to have all of your questions answered.
Be sure to follow the animal shelter on all of the social media channels, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And also don't forget to watch the television show Tips and Tales on Channel 16. Thanks for listening to the Animal Shelter podcast produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.